So there's context problems, and then in inverted commas solutions, like maybe actions, possibilities, way forwards. And so within that is the idea, well, what does it mean to live well together with the sand dune?
It won't just be recordings of people that we're hoping to include. Yeah. It will be trying to, working with field recordings from the area. With the sand dunes, I'm really interested in sort of how we might be able to sonically represent the sand dunes.
That they're the kind of signature of a dynamic coast, of a changing coast. And it's a very important concept. So that they change and move, they mature, they start as an embryo with some sand caught in some marram grass or whatever. They start as embryo, they move through yellow dune stage, they go to grey dune stage. They're like living. I mean, so though that would be nice to capture somehow. I think that could be done sonically, the different ages of the dunes. And beyond that, the idea of a dynamic coast, a moving coast. Yeah. So that's what I'd like to say, just to sort of set that context. But and I think that's one thing we really would like to get over to people.
Seems like, I guess, is the reason you're trying to communicate that is that people don't understand that. They just think it's a lump of sand. How much is this postcard kind of about sand dunes, and how much is it about people talking about sand dunes? Do you know what I mean?
Historically, all the language around coastal processes are very military. So you have a sea defence, you have a sea wall, it's hold the line. It's a very military vocabulary. And so we like to think of coastal processes, it's a fluctuating coastline. It's not coastline, it's a fluctuating coast. It's a coastal area, and actually it's a coastal buffer. And I would add that it's an undulating and oscillating landscape that I think is quite interesting in a way, because it's not flat, it's not linear. It's in whichever way you look at it, whether it's along the line, it's not a straight line parallel to the sea, but it's not a straight line perpendicular to the sea either. When sea level rises, if there's a storm, it acts as a soft buffer. It absorbs the pressure of the water. It's not like a written coast, like a cliff.
Natterjack toads would be a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah, okay.
Natterjacks, cool. The natterjacks are the voice of the dunes, really, and they're only in the dunes.
Well, the embryo dune is the quickest thing to happen. That happens very quickly, because basically the plants will grow, and there's very visible examples of this in Norfolk. Actually, anywhere on a natural coastline, you should see them. And you'll see small, not very high growing plants dotted around where there's debris, and that's the start of an embryo dune. And that grows relatively quickly, and then it will become a little tussock when there's marram, and it sort of grows as a little mound. And that grows relatively fast. Then, of course, it gradually slows, because to become the big dune, that takes a lot longer and it needs a lot more sediment. I guess, the first stage can happen in months. The second stage is probably in years, and then the grey dunes is, decades. So the sand engine focuses on beach nourishment 100% solely, but creating a dune system is a much more resilient thing. It's not per se a natural process. The sand engine is a nature-based solution. Now, nature-based is the key word. It's nature-based. It's like water-based paint. It still remains paint. You know, all of these nature-based solutions have one principle, is that it's not a set line on the coast, and it's working with nature rather than putting a seawall in or a dike that actually stops the natural process.
It means using more materials, forces and interactions present in nature. These resources, you know, includes gravity in that, as well as the action of the waves, sea currents, tidal currents, and rivers, that kind of thing. But yeah,
man-made stuff, we think it's great, it's solid, it's robust, but 50 years later, you know, we're just putting concrete in. And you know, if you're just putting a concrete slab on your terrace, you see how easily it cracks. So whereas a dune will reconstruct itself, and the processes have been there for thousands of years.
I suppose Lucy, Estelle and Alex, what do you think of as the sort of dilemmas or the conversation or the argument that could be made or opened up for you?
They're not actually highly valued as a beautiful landscape. So like a wetland, they fulfill really important jobs in terms of flooding and barriering. So they're a historically very undervalued.
What happens when you don't have a sand dune?
To climate change, it's about sustainable coastal management.
The beach and the dunes are like twin brothers. If one is damaged, the other will be too.
They're just, they're considered wasteland, or they're considered a sort of hinterland between your car and the beach, or, you know, is that the issue?
Well, I think coming back to, I think was it Lucy said earlier, that they're inhospitable places for humans, but they are hospitable places for wildlife. And then there's the other thing, is on top of that scale, I think there's a sense of epicness about dune systems. It's kind of if you go through a dune system, you can easily get lost. It's like going through a mini desert on the coast, you know, it's like being in the East Anglian coast. The dunes are less than 600 years old, and for Winterton, they're less than 250 years old. And so, So that can grow quite fast. And so I think that kind of brings us to our problems, is that our area of the UK, the East Anglian coast, has experienced long-term erosion, and under such conditions, depositional geomorphological features can only be transient. And compared to other parts of Europe, where dune systems are 20,000 years old, a lot older, in the southwest France or Denmark, they're much more established. I guess, so the issue we have is that trapping sand, or making sure the dunes are resilient and can grow, or we are in the early stages of those dunes, and if we're not careful, we may lose the dunes and then completely. So it's actually important to help them grow, because they can be a long-term solution. They're only baby dunes, really.
Climate change. It's one meter sea level rise in this area, predicted very, very conservatively by 2100. 1 meter, very conservative. Could be massively worse than that. We're a low-lying coast, a very soft coast. Yeah. These are new dunes.
Storm in this level of 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000 year events. That actually aren't now 1 in 100 years. They're more like 1 in 25 years, with climate change to happen a lot more often. I think dunes are one of the geomorphological processes that actually grow the quickest, and could actually keep up with the pace of sea level rise.
We can't actually do anything else. If you put concrete there, you can't do it, because the sea will just take the bottom of the concrete out, you know.
You've got climate change, and you've got these young dunes. I think that's
an epic adventure of dunes.
But there's also
sea
something
level rise.
Really interesting about the fact about oscillation and kind of balance, because as you said about the dunes, they can actually grow much quicker than the other kind of solutions. They work, and they are the most sort of effective thing, or I don't know.